Now, you're very welcome back. And now we're going to Ireland's only weekly astronomy show here on CRKC. And I'm delighted to welcome back David Moore, editor of Astronomy Ireland. Now, David, firstly, space made the headlines this week with a highly unusual medical emergency aboard the International Space Station, a very human reminder that living in orbit isn't routine at all. And it links beautifully with the fact that from Tuesday to January the 13th, the ISS becomes visible every single evening from Ireland right through to January the 30th. More than 2 weeks of guaranteed viewing for anyone who looks up. Now, the first question, I suppose, David, is this ISS medical emergency really caught people's attention. Can you explain why it's such a historic moment for the space station and what it tells us about the realities of having astronauts living permanently in orbit?
Yeah, unfortunately, NASA is playing its cards close to its chest. They do regard the medical issues of the astronauts on board as highly confidential, personal to them, so they won't tell us who it is or what the exact condition is. It's obviously serious enough, though, that they've decided to bring the crew back. And the sort of problem is that if the astronaut, is a member of a four-person crew, and so they've got one craft to take them home, and it's always attached to the space station as an emergency vehicle. Let's say a rock from space hit the space station, a bit like that movie with Sandra Bullock in it, and they had to abandon ship. Well, they can't send the sick astronaut back and leave the other three stranded, so they have bad news for the three with whom there's presumably nothing wrong. So this is somewhat unprecedented, and we're going to hopefully see this happen in Irish skies, in that they're due to leave around about Thursday. We're monitoring the details just to get the exact time, and if it's visible flying over Ireland when two craft are on dock, and they'll be side by side, we will get a terrific space chase. Good news for us, not so good for the poor soul on the space station that's not well.
So let me be clear here, David. Are the spacecraft to pick up this person who is not well on the space station? They're on their way to the station now, is that right?
Or they're there? It's already docked.
They're already
so
docked.
The craft that brought them up, they keep it there docked. It will eventually take them home to the normal. Maybe 6 months tour of duty comes to an end, and they'll come back that way. And it's always there as an emergency. And in fact, when there are meteor showers or bits of space debris due to pass close to the space station, they often put the astronauts into the space capsule just in case they have to undock and they're ready to go. So it's still a very dangerous environment living and working in space.
And am I right in saying that it's SpaceX that is that provides that spacecraft?
Yeah, I believe it's the SpaceX capsule that took them up. NASA sort of had a very embarrassing period after they retired the space shuttle, because they had to rely then on the Russians to take them up and down to a space station, which they built a lot of themselves. It is the International Space Station. Even Ireland has some involvement with it. And until the SpaceX produced a crew-rated craft that could take people up to space, so you have to be much more careful with people's vehicles, because if a communication satellite, let's say, is launched and something goes wrong, you have to detonate the rocket on the way up because it's a hazard, then, well, you're a few $100 million out, but no, there's no loss of life. You cannot do that with humans. You've got to have lots of redundant systems. You've got testings. They've just basically got to be produced to a much higher specification with human life involved. So it took a good few years before SpaceX was able to give America back a manned capability in space, or at least the ability to launch people back into space.
And David, the thing of NASA talking about confidentiality of patients, I mean, no one obviously wants to know about the confidentiality of anyone's medical record or anything like that, but it doesn't really wash with the public, because space is becoming more and more and more interesting to people because of the advances in it. That NASA's not going to be able to hang on, because people want to know what happens when someone gets sick in space. What are the protocols if someone, depending on the seriousness of their illness?
Well, for the time being, that protocol is your medical records are confidential and the public won't be told. Obviously, NASA officials, doctors on the ground, you know, and there's a lot of things they can do. They're obviously trained to deal with minor emergencies. And there's all kinds of exotic plans, like having robot-manipulated surgeons on the space station. So a human doctor could actually be operating on the ground and controlling surgical instruments in space. That's going to become more important.
I'm losing you a little bit there, David, wherever you are. Have I lost David? David, can you hear me? I'm going to put on a piece of music. I think I have a piece here somewhere. Let me see. Emergency. There we go. I'm going to put on a piece here just until I try and get David back. Okay, so stay with me. And I think we have David back on the line. David, you there with me?
I am, yes, sir. I'm receiving loud and clear.
Okay. Now, getting back to this, what's remarkable that while all this emergency is happening, the ISS will be the brightest object in our skies when it flies overhead, sometimes even outshining Jupiter. How bright is it, and why is it so completely unmistakable, even for people who don't know a single star?
Well, it's because it's the biggest man-made object in space. So, you know, if you took the picture at Croke Park, you just about fit the International Space Station onto it. So it's various modules. The first project was launched in 1998, and the first people were on board in 2001. And they've added more laboratories, shops, as it were, living quarters, to make things were huge. If you see pictures of it, a rather higgledy-piggledy, well, that's not saying mess, because it was well planned. It cost over 100 billion euros to do that. So I think it's the most expensive single man-made object ever. And it gives you some idea of the costs involved in keeping things in space. And because it's so big, it's not very high up, just above the atmosphere, it's very bright when it's catching the sunlight and blazes across our sky.
Now, there are 7 people on board that ISS right now, but once the crew of 4 return to Earth, there'll be just 3 astronauts left, which is highly unusual. What impact does that have on the station? And what are these exciting space chases people might be able to follow during the return?
Well, of course, the space station is a big laboratory in space, so this is also bad news for the scientists on the ground who have probably spent years, maybe even decades, preparing their experiments to go to space and be operated by the astronauts. So if you ever look at the program of events that the astronauts are doing each day, which is made public, you'll see there are lots of experiments they're involved in. They've all got to stop. There'll be an American and 2 Russians left on the space station, I'm sure. The critical experiments will be monitored and kept running. But you can imagine at NASA, it's not just a medical emergency. It's running around trying to have the most expensive laboratory in the world completely reorganized. And then you've got to plan the next mission. There's a next mission planned. Do you bring it forward? Do you change all the emphasis? It's a nightmare for NASA, I'm sure, internally.
Yeah.
But one thing we know is they'll cope and do the best they can.
Now, as you've done for decades, Astronomy Ireland will be posting the exact times to watch every evening around sunset. For listeners, where should they look online, and what's the best way to spot the ISS as it glides silently across the sky?
Well, all you have to do, go to our website, astronomy.ie, and down the bottom you'll see the links to our social media, Facebook, Instagram, X, Twitter. And every day around sunset, we post not only what's to see in the sky that night, but also, is the International Space Station flying over? If it is, we'll give you the exact minute when it's at its highest. That's the best time. Go out a few minutes before that to be ready. and watch it fly overhead. Give seven astronauts tomorrow, and eventually three astronauts next week who left on board a bit of a wave. And we also, of course, predict whether or not there's going to be an aurora. We've been doing this for decades, and it's Ireland's longest-running aurora alert service, and it's all free. So astronomy.ie, go down to the social media.
There you go.
When you like Instagram or Facebook, follow us there.
Now, David, turning to the planets, Jupiter is absolutely stealing the show this month. It's at its closest point to Earth, directly opposite the sun, rising at sunset and visible all night. Just how spectacular is Jupiter right now to the naked eye?
Oh, it's absolutely unmistakable. Two Saturdays ago, it was just next to the moon, and the two of them side by side, you know, people spotted it just out walking the dog and wondering, what's that bright star next to the moon? It'll actually happen again on January 30th. So mark that one in your diary. Those diagrams are showing exactly what it will look like in Astronomy Ireland magazine. And it's about 10 times brighter than the brightest stars you'll see overhead. So if you look up and you see the brightest star you can see, that's Jupiter. And the next brightest one will be one of the real stars, about 10 times dimmer. And the International Space Station can actually get as bright as Jupiter. I've occasionally seen it outshine Jupiter when it's passing directly overhead. Some of the passes are... wouldn't be that bright, but it could. So there's two extremely bright star-like objects to see in the sky. Jupiter will be there for hours, though. The ISS only takes a couple of minutes to cross the sky.
Now, with binoculars, people can see Jupiter's four main moons, and anyone with a telescope can see the cloud belts and even the Great Red Spot. First of all, what actually is the Great Red Spot? And secondly, you've given us a brilliant memory tip, 13, 15 and 17. Why are these, of January, why are these dates so important this week?
Well, the Great Red Spot's a huge swirling storm on Jupiter. Thing is, though, it's big enough that you could take it with a blanket, wrap it nicely once around the Earth, cover the entire Earth's surface. So it's about 25,000 miles wide, 10,000 miles north to south. It's actually shrinking a bit over the last few decades. We're hoping it won't vanish by the end of the century. But for the time being, it's a huge storm that's been seen for hundreds of years since telescopes were powerful enough to see it. It's been there for thousands of years. We think it's kept going, spinning, by Jupiter's rotation. So although Jupiter is 11 times wider than the Earth, the biggest planet in the solar system, it actually spins the fastest in less than 10 hours. So it also makes the planet bulge out at the equator. It's spinning that fast. And we think that's what powers the red spot. And the wind speed at the edge is about 500 kilometers per hour. Not just for a few days like we have on hurricanes on the Earth, which aren't as fast anyway, but also it lasts for hundreds of years, not just a few days. So it's a crazy storm, and we think there's phosphorus compounds mixed in with it that gives it this pinkish-red colour. It's sort of more of a salmon pink, a lightish pink colour rather than a brick red colour, although it has been brick red in the past. In the 1800s, there were reports of being even redder than it is now. So if you've got a telescope for Christmas, I was looking at the red spot there a few nights ago, then it's a target you definitely want to see. And you'll see, if you've got a telescope, you'll see all the cloud belts on Jupiter. I could see intricate detail in them. I'm lucky enough to have a big telescope. If you didn't get a telescope, don't worry. We're running a Jupiter watch, I mentioned in a minute, on January 21st. But Jupiter has always been the amateur's planet because there's so much detail to see and things change. So if the red spot's not on the side facing us, then you could have to wait 10 hours for it to spin around and bring the red spot back into view. So there's not every night you'll see it. And those dates you gave there are the nights this week when you'll see it. And if you go to astronomy.ie/Jupiter, there's actually a link to a nice program that has Irish involvement that will show you what Jupiter looks like live with the red spot on all the moons.
Okay. Now, David, there's also a lovely quirky sight coming up next Sunday. Jupiter will appear close to a naked eye star in Gemini called Wasat. Why are these close pairings so striking, and how easy will this one be to see?
Yeah, well, it would be, the star itself is an ordinary star you can see easily with the naked eye. Not as bright as the North Star or the stars that are in the plough, for instance. But Jupiter doesn't pass by stars that bright very often. So we highlighted this one that'll happen at the weekend in the Astronomy Island magazine. And maybe people looking at Jupiter staring at it a bit intensely, and especially anybody who was pointing their binoculars at it to see the moon would definitely see this star in the field view and wonder what it was. So to preempt all that, we've told people it's a star in Gemini called Wasat. So watch out for that, a little bit of a curiosity. Nothing important. Jupiter is much closer, millions of times closer. The star is very much bigger than Jupiter, but way, way, way in the distance. A chance alignment.
Yeah, okay. Now, before we finish, David, Saturn is still shining in the evening skies. There's your New Year public lecture tonight at 7 p.m. about exoplanets and finding Earth 2, plus the Jupiter watch on January the 21st, and beginner classes later this month. For anyone inspired to get involved in astronomy, what should they do? Tell us just very briefly about them, and then what people should do next.
Yeah, well, the big thing is, of course, tonight's the New Year lectures in a couple of hours. Less than a couple of hours at 7 o'clock, all about exoplanets, planets going around other stars, and how you can help find more, and maybe one day we'll find alien life as a result. So that should be great fun, talk for all the family. Then on the 21st of January, exactly 1 week before our evening classes, we're going to set up giant telescopes to show people Jupiter. So even most of the members of Astronomy On don't own telescopes this big. It's in the Leinster area only, I'm afraid. But if you can get to us, we're easy to get to just off the M50. You won't have to go into Dublin City. And we'll have giant telescopes there from 7 p.m. to show you Jupiter like you've never seen it before. And exactly 1 week after that, our evening classes for beginners start. No knowledge of math or science needed. You just sign up and sit down and watch the two-hour talks every Wednesday evening for 8 weeks. They're the most popular astronomy classes.
Oh, have I lost you again? Have I lost you again? David, I've lost you again, have I? Hello, David. He's after cutting out on me again there. Anyway, you got the gist of what he's saying there. So astronomy.ie is where you'll find out about the public lecture tonight at 7 p.m. about exoplanets and finding Earth 2, plus the Jupiter watch on January the 21st. That's Wednesday week, and beginner's classes then a week later. For beginner's classes. And as I say, for anyone inspired to get involved in astronomy in 2026, or if you've got a new telescope, well then you know what to do. Just go on to astronomy.ie, and that's where you will be able to find out what you need to do, or if you want to get the magazine or whatever like that. David, I've lost David, but I just thank David, for editor of Astronomy Ireland magazine, from watching astronauts orbiting overhead to seeing Jupiter's moons, Saturday rings, and even helping us to find planets around the other stars, and of course that medical emergency on board the ISS space station. That's all news for anyone involved in space. So all the ISS viewing times, space chase details, Jupiter guides and all are on astronomy.ie.